following with a lot of fascination this whole
Bill also was on the very night before, that was in the last minute, we kind of the assembly and mentioned the school board, but I was also pleased to see that the school administration has a big support in the village. I guess the objections I've seen from the average executive branch, I think are probably fair ones as far as understanding of the role. The entry to that one, but you said that it was about 1 year older than that. I don't recall the exception to the one that was happening that a year ago. But we've never been in the short term front of it.
And what was that specific situation?
I have a copy of your article that was here. Perhaps somebody can maybe get it directly, speak it more directly, but there was a concern or a one about the city other courts,
and they were sued.
And what happened?
They attempted to sue it and it was dropped. It was dropped without any immunity.
That's why it was gone.
So the ombudsman's office operated for years without immunity successfully.
And then it was,
yeah,
unfortunately, so last year, it was dropped because of the immunity provision.
What do you think of the question that came up? The municipal ombudsman, or never the ombudsman staff, may not testify. What if it says may not be compelled to testify?
Is that a better way to say that?
I don't know of any case where it might make a difference, but it seems like it is a prohibition against testifying even if they wanted to testify. And maybe that's not the idea.
Unfortunately, I think it's like it's all been.
Would it be appropriate to allow an ombudsman when he or she for good cause wishes to testify the authority to do so?
Well,
from your experience,
I think what's happened in our
office is that
as you go on through that sentence, I believe that sentence does take care of the situation where the ombudsman believes it's important to testify to carry out provisions of their act. This has happened on a couple of occasions at the state level. We do have the authority at the state level to make these regulated in any year. And that is true. I could see a possibility where if we had a misconduct complaint and we put information under it, and the subsequent prosecution, we may confirm or report or something like that, or to result. Sure that a recommendation of certain to see those things. But I think the idea of the that problem where it's important to the functioning of the office.
There's two categories there that I was thinking of. One is I think the second part does say that if it's necessary to testify to carry out the duties of the office. But there may be cases where it's just neutral. There's no reason for the ombudsman not to testify, and someone has requested testimony. They shouldn't be compelled to testify, but if it is not breaching any confidence, then why not? It's kind of the case that I'm thinking. That's why the difference may not be compelled to, then at least they got the right to make the choice. We have taken the tack that we tried very hard to stay out of this situation and be careful. Primarily because we're not very interested in protecting our weapons. Once you begin to testify, it seems like too much, not a very much larger leap until you have the records in the file.
Senator, I was going to say that if you insisted upon doing it a better way, would be to just
had a tendency, whoever the ombudsman, made the good cause voluntarily testify. But whether that's desirable or not, it's not a policy question.
The words we have here are and there's also some comfort out there by the national ombudsman that has a similar provision that's in the state law and allowing questions for spiritual counseling.
Okay, further questions for the ombudsman? What I was going to do is go to the Anchorage Assembly and see if anyone wants to testify. There he is here. Thank you. If you introduce yourself.
I'm Dick Friday out of Midtown, Anchorage. I want to thank you for your time first. I really request your favorable consideration on this. We feel quite strongly that as a policy setting board for the city of Anchorage, I know the mayor was on at this point. I think they both have just a basic philosophical difference on both the government as far as we're concerned. We view the ombudsman as a tool for the public to really, it's a vehicle for them to bring their concerns forward. And they need to have that sense of confidentiality. So when they discuss it with the ombudsman, that they might, there's nothing of retribution kind of thing. As you know, we've extended the study to that system. We've extended the purview into the school district. And so we're getting more and more people coming forward with concerns that they have. And this ombudsman is a necessary tool to reconcile differences. And we're quite happy with the way it's been working, but we may end up having to find another position just to handle items coming forward from the school district.
I wonder who would be the best one to go through this specific argument in Anchorage last year. I'm just trying to think. I did not pay no attention to it.
Senator, specifically, it would have to be one of the assembly members more senior than myself. Begich, Barnett, or one of them would probably be best to describe that.
I'd kind of like to know what that really was, because I did not pay attention. Any questions by members of the committee? Mr. Craig?
Appreciate your time. Thank you. Sure, I just supplement Dick's comments by saying that really the only thing we have is confidence in people, and they want an independent agency or person or instrumentality to look at allegations or complaints or what have you. And they must be like Caesar's wife above suspicion. And I don't think people are asking us over.
Hi.
I'm Karen. I'm from the
this immunity is going to the municipal ombudsman. Do we look to it to extend it further than this in the future, or this is the last place this immunity is going to in municipalities? And I just want to know if this passes, then next year I'm looking at maybe giving immunity to assemblymen or certain executive officers in municipalities throughout the state of Alaska. So it concerns me at this particular time.
I don't think I can answer your question as far as what someone else might think, so it's certainly not a first way to extend it beyond that offer.
Thank you.
Okay, if he can't get back right now, Go ahead.
That's on that again for Senator Adams. On your original question about contacting you or having that service provided elsewhere, in our experience, the ombudsman is a creature of the Anthony Charter, same as the mayor. Person is directly responsible to the Anchorage Assembly. And on any given Tuesday night, the Anchorage Assembly can hold an executive session and view at the ombudsman and the six colors they have. They lead that executive session and dismiss the ombudsman in a public vote after the session. So that's how the Assembly has been able to do it. And Mr. Chairman, with your indulgence, on the other question regarding the question that was resolved for the mayor. A moment ago I had the position paper of the mayor, and I can find that for you if you like, and I can hand it to you, Mr. Mayor.
What did it say now? Just tell me what it said. I don't.
Well, the one portion that had to do with the language, which was not in the bill originally regarding gross negligence and local misconduct. And so the mayor had requested that that be inserted into the bill, and that is part of what we did.
That was the floor amendment on the House side?
I believe it was. I don't have to check for that, but it's in the version that's before you now.
Okay.
And I believe on the previous question about extending the immunity to other persons, I would not respond to that, but I could not guarantee that that wouldn't be something that we would see that would be processed through the House and judicial committee regarding the police.
What I'm going to do is check the one question I've got on Deacon Tell to test whether or not this will stay on our schedule and bring it back up. Senator, if the bill that you have on our calendar is easy.
Very easy, Mr. Chairman.
Try and deal with it.
Is that before us now, Mr. Chairman?
I think I've signed Bill 392 by Senator Rhodes.
Mr. Chairman, the bill corrects essentially a glitch in the law. The present law, a little background, forcible entry and detainer is used when someone will not leave a residence, house, apartment, or whatever that is owned by somebody else. The public housing corporations, including the regional housing corporations, have from time to time to use forcible entry and detainer, or FED, to get someone to move out. The present law says that these actions can be prosecuted by the party in person or an attorney, except that the United States or a corporation, either public or private, must appear by an attorney. It doesn't make sense for Mr. Adams or Articulate Housing Authority to have to employ an attorney to go in. And these are very, very simple proceedings. And it then costs the Regional Housing Authority or the other public housing authority more money, which takes money away, puts in the box of the attorneys, takes it away from housing those people who are deserving. So it's that simple. This would allow someone from Senator Adams Housing Authority to go in and handle that without having to hire an attorney at $150 an hour to do what is essentially cakewalk work. It's very, very simple. Cynthia Parker from the Neighborhood Housing Service, which is certainly in Anchorage, our most eloquent spokesman and certainly most creative person we have in the public housing field here also, and I would respectfully request that Chairman ask her to testify.
If there's any questions.
If there are any questions, of course, if there are none, then.
Mr. Chairman.
My only question is to you.
Yes, sir.
Just so I understand it, the existing law requires the representative to be an attorney. This is an exemption to existing law.
Yes, it is. It allows a public housing corporation to have a non-attorney go into court on a
that can be enforced on the community.
Mr. Chairman, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill number 392 be moved out of committee with individual recognition. There's an objection
for objection for a question for a question. Senator Reed, did you say that an individual or a partnership those people that own a building don't have to use an attorney, only corporations?
Only the United States or public and private corporations have to be approved by attorney in all cases.
That's existing law, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I would make an exception to that to
I would make a bigger exception, but I don't want to mess up your bill. I would make the exception.
What? I know you would.
Okay, that's kind of leading my question. You say, so who would still have to get an attorney? Do that corporation?
A corporation, for the United States, President Bush is going to appear in all probability in these actions. Either public or private corporation, the United States would.
A corporation would still have to, just not a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm. If you're incorporated.
These are nonprofit corporations that are basically taking a big care of low income people, so it just adds for the burden. On low-income people and give us the attorneys.
What's the logic of having an attorney handle corporate?
That's existing statute. I didn't write that statute. I won't argue for it because they are because a corporation is an artificial person, and the we're all. All quote unquote groups are artificial things. They require that the representative like the law. Either that's a statute, if I didn't write it, it's been around for a long time. And I don't know the exact genesis of it, but
would that
be a great place for a forum?
I was going to say it.
Thanks, guys.
The place that I always object to that is like a little subchapter F corporation. You probably are the president, vice president, the secretary. You got.
Well, I don't know if there's any logic.
But you can't represent
an A corporation. I mean, what's the difference? I mean, you know.
Well, yeah, but the ones that hurts are the subchapter F corporations that are very small.
Well, it hurts the big corporations.
No, they all have attorneys anyway.
Well, yeah, but they don't have to send them out to do a little courthouse.
Well,
it's not going off. It's going to take court just file paper and just be appropriate back up.
I made the motion. There was an objection.
No,
we have a motion to pass out Senate Bill 392. Are there objections? Without objection, Senate Bill 392 is passed out of committee with individual recommendation. Okay. Is there anything else quick for after
no.
time? I guess we're stuck.
That's it.
Okay.
That's quick. But Mr.
Didn't
Chair,
do that badly.
No, but that other bill, Senate Bill 254, I just gave a new amendment, and I'd like him to look at it. But, yeah, the dividend one, so we can look at it later.
Okay, so the court says the court says
yeah.
The
yeah.
Later. The bill is supported by everybody.
All the commissioners except or whatever.
Oh, yeah.